Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Family! Good. If you have a Bible, please open to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to continue with our series on Elijah. I kind of feel like we're doing one of those recaps of the next episode. When last we left Elijah, he was confronting the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. This fantastic chapter of history, we are continuing today. But I want to start with an old story. Okay, there was three preachers who were in a Starbucks and they were having a conversation. Don't you hate it when they start off with like a number of preachers doing something? You always know how those. But three preachers were having coffee in Starbucks back when you used to be able to do that. And they were talking about what's the best position for prayer. Again, this is a very old story. And the first one said, well, I find it's most effective to just kind of get in there and in the sanctuary and lift my hands to God. And that's how I feel, you know, that my prayers work the best. And second guy said, well, I like to just get on my knees and just kind of bow down. And that's how I like to pray. And I think that God hears that the best. And the third preacher said, well, I just like to lay down, prostrate before the Lord and just literally just lay there. And that's how I feel that the Lord really hears my prayers. And there's a telephone repairman next to him. And he interjected, excuse me, fellas, God hears my prayer when I'm hanging upside down off a telephone pole. And that kind of ended the discussion right there. So today we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to kind of continue in our journey. Let's just pick up where we have had this encounter, and then God has answered by fire, by consuming this sacrifice. And we're going to pick the story up right there, because I have one point for you today. Just one point for you today, okay? So 1 Kings 18, 41 through 46. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. Okay? So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. Let me stop right there. So he's talking that, hey, this drought, I'm hearing a sound of the rushing of rain. At this point, was it raining? Question. Was it raining yet, church? It was not. It was not raining at this point. And yet he's hearing something and he's convinced of something that's not yet there. And so Ahab is going to go up and celebrate this. And yet Elijah is going to do something else. He's kind of giving us almost like a fast. He's saying, I'm going to choose to pray and that's where I'm going to lock myself in. So he goes and goes to the top of Mount Carmel and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Okay, so he's bowing down to the earth. He's putting his face between his knees. How many of you like yoga? Downward facing prophet. Okay, so here we have, this is a pretty intense thing here. Okay, he's doing something here. And then he says to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again, seven times. And at the seventh time, he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garments and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That's a pretty powerful thing. That's a really interesting thing. You know, this prayer that we see here with Elijah, it's an amazing prayer. 3 years, not a drop of rain. Why? Because Elijah's word, according to the word of the Lord, Elijah's word shut up heaven. And we see now this massive change. So I got a question for you, church family. Why did it rain? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Anybody at home, you can text me. Nope. Why did it rain? Because Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed according to the word of the Lord. Okay, and so my one point for us today. I just have one point for you today. Ready for your point? You can memorize it. It's a simple one. Prayer precedes change. Prayer precedes change. Elijah knows that it's time for change. He had heard from God. And so he is so convinced that there is such a need of change and that God has ordained it that his conversation is already locked into a new reality even though it hasn't appeared on earth yet. I gotta ask you a question. Is anybody here in this room, in your life, in your walk with God, do you know that it's time for a change? Is there an area of your life that you know that God has said, it's time for a change? It's almost like you've been in a drought and you need some rain. And you know that it's time for a change and you're sitting around and you're waiting. You got two choices. You can be like Ahab and you can go up on the mountaintop and you can just sit back and eat and or you can be like Elijah and you can pray in faith. You can pray and you can literally lock yourself in to the new reality which God has revealed needs to happen in your life. How many of you saw the movie Facing the Giants? I love that movie. That's a really great, that's that group of Christian movie makers. And there's a scene where there's an older gentleman and he's walking down the hallways and he's praying for the children at the lockers and he's praying for them and he's interceding for them. And he has a conversation with the coach who's downtrodden and he's talking to him about faith. And he gives a story of two farmers in a drought. And he said that they both prayed for rain. And one of them went out and prepared his field, and the other just sat back and waited. Which one was praying in faith? And so for you who are in a spiritual drought, you who know that where you are right now is not where God would have you to be, and you know it's long overdue, I want to encourage you to begin to lock in by faith to the new norm that God has for you. Hear with spiritual ears the sound of the abundance of rain and begin to walk in that new revelation. When I took a group of our youth years ago to lead the cause university in Colorado Christian University in Denver, one of the things that we learned is that prayer must be the engine that drives, not the caboose that follows. And I was talking to one of our people actually this morning and brought up that quote. And they said, you know what? This makes sense to me now. It didn't make sense to me then. I said, really? Why? And they said, because I didn't know what a caboose was. Normally, in a long train, where is the engine normally located? In the front. Where's the caboose? There you go. Where should prayer be in our lives? You see, sadly, here's what I've observed that happens a lot of times in the church. We make decisions and then we pray for God to bless them. That is an example of prayer being in the caboose. And God wants to shake that caboose. He wants prayer to be in the front. Prayer is the engine that drives, not the caboose that follows. And so verse 41, he tells Ahab to go and to eat because there's a sound of a rushing of rain. At that time, was there a sound? No, there was no sound. And yet Elijah was hearing the sound according to God's reality. And what I'm telling everybody here today is the entire world is hearing a sound. They're not hearing God's sound. The church should be hearing a different reality. That in the midst of chaos, confusion, freaking out, that we have a peace and a hope and an understanding that our God is still in control. Okay, gang? I mean, this is how we see it in 1 Samuel chapter 11. We find Hannah. and Hannah is wanting a son, and she really believes, and she is praying, and she is locking in to this reality that she believes that God has for her, and she continues to pray, and because of her prayer, God had heard her prayer, answered, and blessed her with the son. The apostle Peter was thrown in jail for preaching. Okay, they threw him in jail, and the church in Acts chapter 12 gathered together, and they prayed, and as they prayed, Peter was released from prison. Why? Prayer precedes change. Hezekiah prayed for deliverance from the Assyrian army as they were hemmed in 2 Kings chapter 19. And as he prayed, the reality, God's reality, then came on earth. Gang, prayer precedes change. We don't read that there was a wind at that moment, and yet Elijah was acting as if there was. There's a whole lot of this, and if we look at how Elijah prayed, and how Elijah prayed is important to us. And here's how I'm going to prove that it's important to us, that this chapter is important to us, because it's cited in the New Testament. In James chapter 5, James says this, is any one of you suffering? Let him do what? Let him pray. If anyone's suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him throw a party. What are we supposed to do if we're cheerful? Well, wait a minute, preacher. That's blowing my theology, because according to the theology that I was raised in, you pray when you want something and that's it. Thus, our prayers are shopping lists, not thank you cards. We're a bunch of rude little children. How many times do we even say thank you each day? Yes, honestly, why do we say grace? Why little things like this? Why do we even say grace before a meal? Why do we do? We're acknowledging that everything, God, we want to say thank you sincerely. There are people who just say thanks. There are people who sincerely mean it. I pray that we, as children of God, will understand in everything that when we're suffering, we need to pray. I'm not saying don't pray when you're suffering. I'm saying why don't we pray when we're cheerful? Let him sing. If anyone cheerful, let him sing praise. That's part of you in prayer. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders. Wait a minute, but I don't want them to know my business. I just assume unspoken. I get it. Look, I totally get it. I get it that there can be a gossip culture that goes around. I get that people in the day and age of HIPAA, no one wants anybody to know. But guess what? We are a church family. You don't get points for acting brave. If you need help, let people know. Right? If we all need help from time to time. Anybody in this, who in the room has never ever needed help anytime? Raise your hand. If you're never going to raise your hand for anything, raise your hand. Exactly. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Okay? Now this is very interesting. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. It's interesting there. And if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven. In other words, he's saying right there, you know what's most important is looking at your spiritual health. Hello? Have you ever thought about this? Any healing that you get here on earth is only temporary. You ever thought about that? This is not the end all. The end all is not here. And sometimes we need to realize that. You know what? Sometimes sickness is a reminder of more mortality so that we can get our business right. Hello? He goes on. I just snorted. I don't know what that was about. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. That's good. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, here's where this is all talking about how we operate, and now he ties it into Elijah. He said Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What is our nature? We have a sin nature. We already talked last week that Elijah, in some ways, you know, he certainly wasn't a perfect person. We're going to see next week that he has some of the same struggles that we have. And yet God used him for some amazing things. So if he's a man just like us, and yet he was capable of great faith, guess what, gang? We are capable of great faith. We are capable to pray God's will in the middle of a spiritual drought and wait and see the sound of abundance of rain. He said he prayed. How did Elijah pray? He prayed. What's the next word there? Rhymes with shmervently. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whomever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. All of this is talking to us, is relating it to the functioning of Elijah. Okay, his prayer, it has great power. So what are some things that we can learn about Elijah's prayer in this incident, in this instance, that we can apply in our life? Number one, this is all still point one. I just have three sub-points, so just deal with it, all right? Sub-point number one, pray humbly. Everybody say humbly. 1 Kings chapter 18, 42, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Pastor, my back hurts. I don't know if I can bend that way. You know what you can do? You can pray humbly. You can pray humbly. This is quite a position for a prophet, and yet it demonstrated his humility before God. I mean, think about this. This is a guy with some clout. This is a guy with some name recognition. This guy was famous, and literally, he prayed and heaven shut up. He had renown, and yet he threw it all down. He was getting down and putting his head between his knees. Does that look like a really dignified position? I'm not even going to do it right now because it would be extremely undignified. I thought about it, but we have video going. The deal is this, gang. It's not dignified, is it? It is not dignified. What if someone says, amen? I sometimes after a sermon, someone will come up, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, not very often, but every now and then, someone will come up and say, I just wanted to stand up and say amen. I said, why didn't you? I was afraid what people would think about me. Does Elijah really seem to care what people think about him? Huh? You know who he cared, thought about him? God. Church family, demonstrate your humility before God. Look, I fully endorse getting down on your knees and praying. I fully endorse laying on your face before God in prayer. I fully endorse lifting your hands. I fully endorse you being demonstrative before God. What I don't endorse is putting on some facade and then thinking that we get points for that. Maybe we need to get a little less etiquette-minded and a little more God-minded. I don't care what my neighbors think about me, as is obvious. Demonstrate your humility before God. Both James and 1 Peter quote Proverbs 3:24 in stating that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Reject pride and pray humbly before God. So I've got a question for you. What is your posture before God? Seriously, I want you to think about this. What is my posture before God? Am I totally indifferent to Him? Am I very, very dignified? I'm just trying to be quiet and in reverence. That's great. That's super. Are you humble? And how do you know if you're humble before God? Do you seek Him in the good times and the bad? Are you locking into Him? What is your posture before God? Are you truly humble before God in prayer? Or are we humbled, entitled, spoiled brats? Let me ask that again. In our prayer life, Do we come to God as humble children, desperate for Him and thankful for His intervention in our life and His position in our life? Or do we approach the Almighty God like a bunch of entitled, spoiled brats? Pastor, what did you have this morning in your coffee? I had decaf, if you can believe that. Okay. Second point. Second sub-point. Pray persistently. Everybody say persistently. We're almost done here. Persistently. 1 Kings 18:43, and he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And Elijah said, "God doesn't listen to me. I'm done. I'm going home." Is that what Elijah did? Is that what we do? Tell you what, I gotta be honest, I think a lot of times that's really what we do. We pray once, we didn't do it, and we cop an attitude and walk away. We have to learn to persevere in prayer. Do we quit when we do not see God's promise the first or the second or the third time? Or the fourth time? Or the fifth time? Or the sixth time? There's a lesson for us here. Why seven times? I think he was kind of letting us know that we need to go right on through. And what's the seventh day known for? The Sabbath. We prayed and we rest. We rest in the fact that God will do what we can't. Billy Graham once said that heaven is full of answers for prayers to which no one bothered to ask. Look, gang, we got to hang in there. We got to keep praying. We got to grab the horns of the altar. We need to cry out and pray and not just give up and quit. There was a pastor who had a parrot, and all this parrot would say was just two sentences. Let's pray. Let's pray. And he'd got kind of crazy. He's like, "Look, parrot, come on. I need to teach you something else." And the parrot would just, "Let's pray. Let's pray." The pastor got kind of irritated with it. And so then he had found another fellow pastor who had a parrot. And he said, "Oh, my parrot will just say, 'Let's pray, let's pray.'" He says, "Well, let's get them together, because I got a parrot that only says one phrase too. All my parrot says is, 'Let's kiss, let's kiss.'" So they got together and the pastor put the second parrot in the thing. The parrot said, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." And the first parrot said, "My prayers are answered." Someone said that prayer is like wrestling a gorilla. You don't give up when you get tired. You give up when the gorilla gets tired. Why do we need to pray persistently? Because sometimes, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons. Number one, sometimes the reason that we need to keep persistent in prayer is because we're not wrestling God. We're wrestling the enemy. And the enemy does not give up easily. And so sometimes you have to realize that's our fight. That is our fight, is we need to wrestle through the enemy. I will give you as evidence Daniel. Daniel prayed. And it took, you know, a long time, couple weeks before the answer could come through, because he was resisted by the prince of Persia, which was an understanding of a spiritual entity, a power, a principality. It was enthroned in a high place that was resisting the answer. You know what else we have to wrestle in prayer? Is sometimes we have to wrestle ourselves. I'm going to tell you, there have been times that I have prayed my wants more than God's will. Jesus, in the garden, asked, "Look, if it be possible, let this cup be taken. Nevertheless, not my will, your will." But, and he asked. And he asked. And sometimes that's for us. That's where we find God's will, is in prayer. Do we quit when we do not see God's promise the first or the second time? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without what, gang? Without ceasing. Give thanks." Once again, prayer, ask, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us." In other words, it's the will of God for us to come to Him in our bad times and to come to Him with our thanksgiving. Subpoint number three, and I think this is the one that's most important to me, is pray relationally. I've given sermons before about the difference of a request prayer versus a relational prayer. And prayer is so important. 1 Kings chapter 18, 36 through 37. This is a prior instance of prayer with Elijah. And listen to the why of Elijah praying. Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer. Why? Here's the why. That this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back. Gang, we can pray about our relationship with God. Prayer is where we develop relationship with God. That's where we develop. That's where we talk to Him. That's why I sang earlier today. And we walk with Him and we talk with Him. And what? And He tells me I am His own. You know, it took me a long time. Because I learned a poor theology on prayer. The theology that I learned about prayer was prayer is just telling God, fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. When I learned a revolutionary theology of prayer is prayer is talking to your Father and Him talking back. I only learned that there was one part of the phone, the microphone. Gang, that's only half of prayer. Half of prayer is listening. Pray about others' relationship with God. So prayer is not only developing our relationship with God. I think a large percentage of our prayers should be about others' relationship with God. So instead of, hey, Lord, I need money to get a new set of tires. Or Lord, my boss is driving me crazy. Oh, Lord, you know, this person, my neighbor, they just get on my nerves. Oh, Lord, I got a test coming up. Help me. I didn't study. How about, Lord, this person needs you. Use my life to reflect your goodness that they... Do you see this? This is why we're here. I believe that this is what prayer is really about, is people knowing Jesus. Final point. Worship team can come up. Pray powerfully. Subpoint number 4. See, I snuck an extra one in. It's bonus. You don't have to pay for this one. This one's free. Pray powerfully. What do you mean pray powerfully? Are you going to be one of those crazy TV preachers who scares us and blesses a snot rag and throws it so that somehow? No. But there is power in prayer. Oh, children, there is power in prayer. All throughout Scripture, James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power. Well, Pastor, I don't know how righteous I am. Here's what I want to tell you, how righteous you are. How righteous is Jesus? Well, I don't measure up to Jesus. Well, neither do I. Thank heavens that by faith, His righteousness has been imputed to me when I go to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Wait, that didn't excite anybody. When Jesus asks, do you think things happen? Yes. Why? He's God's Son. The prayer of a righteous person has not just power, it has great power as it is working. John 15:7. And here's why it's so important that we stay locked in. If you abide in me, in other words, if we stay in Jesus, and my words abide in you. In other words, the things that Jesus said, they become our life principles. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Does that mean I can get $1 million? If that's what your focus is, you're not abiding in Him and His words aren't abiding in you. When we ask according to the will of God, we can... Elijah was asking according to the will of God, no more rain. Zip, no rain. Elijah asked according to the will of God, it's time to rain. And honey, it rained. It rained. S.D. Gordon, in his book, Quiet Talks About Prayer. I want to close with this. The greatest agency God I'm sorry, the greatest agency put into man's hand is prayer. To understand that, one needs to define prayer. And to define prayer adequately, one must use the language of war. What? Peace language is not equal to the situation. The earth is in a state of war. It is being hotly besieged, and so one must use war talk to grasp the facts with which prayer is concerned. Prayer from God's side is communication between himself and his allies in the enemy's country. Prayer is not persuading God. I'm going to read that again. Prayer is not persuading God. It does not influence God's purpose. It's not winning him over to our side. It's never that. He is far more eager for what we are rightly eager than we ever are. What there is of wrong in sin and suffering that pains you, pains him far worse. He knows more about it. He is more keenly sensitive to it than the most sensitive one of us. Whatever of heart yearning there may be that moves you to prayer is from him. God takes the initiative in all prayer. It starts with him. True prayer moves in a circle. It begins in the heart of God, sweeps down into a human heart upon the earth, so intersecting the circle of the earth, which is the battlefield of prayer. And then it goes back again and to its starting point, having accomplished its purpose on the downward swing. James relates us to Elijah in prayer. Ordinary people. Satan has convinced us that prayer doesn't do anything, and the Bible convinces us this, that prayer is powerful and prayer is effective. Pray relationally, gang. Pray without ceasing. Pray humbly and pray in power. Let's join. Would you stand to your feet, church? Father in heaven, thank you that you love us far more than we possibly comprehend. And Lord, I thank you for this wonderful, powerful weapon that you have given us in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would shake us as we take an honest look at our prayer life. Lord, as we acknowledge what you have called it to be. The times are desperate times, God, and they call for desperate measures. But Lord, we are a people of peace. We are a people of faith. I pray, Lord, that you would increase us. And Lord, as the disciples came and said, teach us to pray, Lord, that's our heart today as well. Help us to understand that we can pray thankfully. We can pray humbly. We can stay in this way and you change us in prayer. Thank you, Lord, of all that is accomplished. And Lord, we pray right now for those around us who don't know you. God, I pray that you would create in our hearts a willingness to do what it takes to share Jesus with those whom you have placed in our life for that purpose. We love you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name, and all God's children say, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.